This is Will's Band of the Week for July 14th, 2010. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will along with Barrett.
Hello, everybody.
And we don't have Chris with us this week, and there will be no podcast next week, sorry to say, because the summer months are getting busy.
So you're taking a vacation next week?
I am going to be out of state, yes. Yeah. In fact, one of the things, we'll preview it here, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to go to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
All right.
So we'll be able to give a report on that.
I've heard that's really cool.
I've been there.
Only driven by it.
I've been there, but it was a long time ago. So I remember it having some cool stuff, but it'll be fresh enough because it's been so long. I think it was, I can tell you, it was 13 years ago.
13. So that was like before Elvis was in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Right?
Yeah. I don't know if they had anybody in it yet. Well, it was pretty, I think it was, I don't know, how long has that been around?
It's, less than 20 years.
Yeah, I think
sure.
So
maybe 15. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. So, anyway, we will we'll report on that. You know, one thing I was worried about, though, with Chris not being here.
What's that?
I'm afraid maybe he's going to take his talents to South Beach.
You think so? Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
We'll have to see if there'll be a podcast where Chris and it's will be the decision. Chris announces his decision to podcast with another
It'll
group.
Be like an hour-long podcast,
right?
Just talking about which podcast he's going to join. So,
and Jim Gray will be the interviewer and
right.
ask him lots of questions about, you know, what did he have for breakfast and you know, what's his favorite color and things like that. And
right.
after about 20 minutes, I'll ask him what the decision is.
Right. Yep. Okay. So I understand that you have some music news because I don't. So the burden's on you, Barrett.
I do have a little bit of music news. It's not really news. It's all gleaned from that Today in Rock and Roll History website that I talked about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a couple of big debuts, big tour debuts. This was the, we're recording this on July 13th. And on this date in 1967, The Who began their first full-fledged U.S. tour. And they were an opening band in Portland for Herman's Hermits.
Wow.
Yeah, which is kind of funny.
That is.
Then 6 years later on this date, the Everly Brothers were playing someplace. I can't remember where. I didn't write that down. But the brothers are named Phil and Don, and Phil kind of lost his mind a little bit, and he smashed every guitar on the stage, and he announced that the brother act was splitting up. So he quit the band.
Wow, you don't think of the Everly Brothers as guys who would smash their instruments, do you?
No, not really. So he really lost it. So I think they didn't talk for a long time, but maybe I don't know what they're doing now. And then in 1977, Elvis Costello and the Attractions played their first gig in an English city called Cornwall. So that's three kind of cool things that happened at concerts on this date. And then you go back to 1912, and it was the day that Woody Guthrie was born.
1912.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So that's the news that was.
So he must not be alive then, because he'd be 98 then.
Yeah. I think in the movie Alice's Restaurant
mm-hmm.
with Arlo Guthrie, I think they have him in the hospital dying.
Oh, okay.
So I think he died in like 67 or 68. But yeah, he would be 98 years old.
Wow.
Pretty old. So that's all I know about music history for today.
Okay. We don't have a jingle. We need a jingle for that, don't we?
We can maybe make one on GarageBand.
Yeah, I got to work on that. I'm debating whether I'm going to try to record some things like actual instrument stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether I'm going to mess around with GarageBand, but haven't gotten around to either of those yet. So we'll see. Stay tuned. Listeners who stay tuned will be rewarded with something at some time, but we don't know when. Got to keep them guessing, right?
Exactly.
So should we talk about some music this week?
Sure.
We don't have a half hour long special feature for you this week. You can only do those so often, right?
Right. Yeah. We actually don't even have a consensus band this week.
No, we don't.
It's going to be sort of a freestyle event.
Freeform podcasting.
Freeform podcasting. And I know that you picked a band that you've been fond of for a long time. And I intended to give it a good listen, and I really have not. So I'm going to be along with the podcast listeners kind of hearing this with fresh ears.
Okay.
Instant analysis.
There's nothing wrong with fresh ears.
No.
You know. So I'm going to use this to sort of promote a band that I've liked for quite a while. And listeners who listened to the Favorite Albums of the Decade podcast we did will perhaps remember that I had a band on my decade list called Cloud Cult. And so I'd like to continue to promote Cloud Cult. They've got a new album. It's, depending on your definition of release, it's either already released or it's about to be released. They have it for sale on their own website, so you can only buy it from their website. It hasn't been released generally, even by digital outlets. But, in this digital age, if you can buy it somewhere, then it's sort of released, right?
I guess so.
So I'm not sure why they did it that way, but I found out about 2 weeks ago that it was for sale. I had known that it was supposed to come out in August, I think, sometime. But so this is sort of, this makes it more of a Will's Band of the Week exclusive, I think. We can't call it exclusive, but, it's
right.
Sort of exclusive. So Cloud Cult is a band originally from the state of Minnesota, so they're a Midwest band. So I think that's good. We should be discussing Midwest bands. But now they even have a Wisconsin connection because the band leader, his name is Craig Minowa, and his wife Connie have recently moved to southwestern Wisconsin. They bought a farm, and they're living that farm and rock and roll dual lifestyle, I guess.
Southwestern Wisconsin.
So yeah.
Maybe they're in Cuba City or something, or
I think it's Vernon County.
Vernon
Does that sound
County.
Right? Yeah. So, and their band lineup, I think, is very interesting. They have the basic guitar, bass, drums, but then they also have a cello player, a violin player, a multi-instrumentalist who switches around with keyboards and some other things, and two painters. They have two people who paint on stage during their performances. And it sounds maybe kind of nutty, but when you see it, I've seen them play live twice. It actually kind of works. It's pretty cool. They have spotlights on these paintings, and they paint during the performance, and then at the end of the show, they auction them off.
What kind of things are they painting? Is it the drums or something, or is it something having nothing to do with
in
front of them?
I think they're trying to be sort of interpretive, but,
okay.
I don't know. I am just not a person who can describe art.
Okay.
So you could go to their website, though. I think it's cloudcult.com. At least that's a good guess. And the first time I went to see them, the cello player, Sarah Young, was sitting at the merchandise table. And I asked her, how much do you usually get for these paintings? And she said, it varies, but, couple hundred bucks maybe.
Wow.
So it's kind of cool in a way.
It's pretty good.
And I'd kind of like to have one, but it was a little over my budget, so I'd have to go to I'd have to find them playing in a place where no one's ever heard of them, and then lowball bid for
right.
the painting. I think that's a good strategy. So anyway, the new album is called Light Chasers, so I think we should listen to a little bit. I'm going to start with a track that I think is pretty representative of their sound. This is the quieter side of their sound, sort of the acoustic sound, which I think almost could have been an album opener, but this is in the middle. It's track 5. It's called You Were Born.
I don't know where we come from, I don't know where we go, but my arms are made to hold told you, so I will never let you go, 'cause you were born to change this life. You were born to chase the light, 'cause you were born. Love your mother, yeah, she's a good one. She'll build you armor, keep you warm as a hen. The stars may fall, the rains may pour, but I will love you evermore, 'cause you were born to make this right, 'cause you were born to chase the light, 'cause you were born.
So is that a song about a child of his?
Yes, it is.
So he's had, well, you can fill in a little bit about the backstory of these guys.
Right. There's the backstory that, in fact, probably three or four of their albums were heavily influenced by the singer and his wife having a young son who died at age two. And so they have, you know, some really gut-wrenching stuff. But very well done that he was writing for, you know, like I said, three or four albums. And they have a new son who was born, I don't know, a year ago or so. So this album has some references to that. They're not going back to the whole sad story from before, but obviously this is a reference to the new son. So that's the quiet side, and let's play one that's a little more representative of the full band. This is called Blessings, Invocation Part 2. Thank you. So there's one of the longer, slower developing, moodier tracks. And there is sort of a reference in there that I sort of overlooked when we were talking about it before, to the, you know, the earlier kid and now worrying with the new kid. That seems to be right. The theme. Yeah. So I'm going to play one more. And this one is the one they released in advance as a single, which is a little bit of, I guess, catchier track, which I also think is good. This is called Running with the Wolves. Running with the Wolves, undoubtedly about buying a farm in southwestern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I living mean, out in nature.
I'll give this a listen all the way through. Now, I mean, you've given some good samples and I like it. But it's going to be hard not to think of every word he says and try to look for a deeper meaning. And most songwriters are not saddled with that kind of baggage at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, that one's obviously about...
Yep.
The first son, and this one's about the second son, and so that'd be kind of tough.
Yep. One thing, a couple things about that song. I like the driving bass. They have this like overdriven bass they use on some of the songs, which I think is cool. The other thing, I saw them live in a few months ago, and there's a percussion part in that song where it's the three snare drums hitting, and they did kind of a cool thing. Two of the band members for that percussion part used cookie sheets and like banged on them for the percussion part, which yeah. I thought was cool.
That's cool.
You know, how many bands play a cookie sheet?
Not many. Yeah. A lot of kids do.
Yeah. So they're retaining their youthfulness, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Cloud Cult, recommended at least by me, and see what you think. If you like that, check them out. And I think Barrett now has some other music to tell us about.
Yep. This week I didn't really listen to anything new. I was out on State Street shopping with a couple of friends and talking about music, and we were at B-Side on State Street, and I thought, I just want to get something old and classic that I don't have that I've always kind of wanted. So I went out and got a couple of things. I bought Nick Lowe's Jesus of Cool, which was named Pure Pop for now people here in the U.S. because they thought that would be too offensive.
Oh.
Then I bought Graham Parker and the Rumors Squeezing Out the Sparks from 1979, and that's the one I'm going to play a couple of samples from.
Okay. And this will be interesting because this is one like the artist and title are familiar to me, but I really don't know what I'm going to hear. So we're going to find out. So give us the background on Graham Parker.
Graham Parker is a British musician. This album came out, Squeezing Out Sparks, came out in 1979. And he was known, along with Elvis Costello and Joe Jackson, in the British press as one of the three angry men. And I think when you listen to this, you'll see that not only do they have the same kind of, you know, musical aesthetic, but they kind of sound pretty similar. In fact, I was playing this week, and my wife hadn't heard it in forever. Like, we have a couple different Graham Parker albums. And she said, "Who is this guy again? The guy that sounds like Elvis Costello?" So, but he was a bit older. He was born in 1950. So he was all of 29 years old, which by, you know, rock standards doesn't make him all that young. But, you know, Joe Jackson and Elvis Costello were each 4 years older than that, or younger, rather. So, yeah, this came out. It was his sixth album in 1979. It was the same year that Joe Jackson came out with his second, I'm the Man, which is a classic. And Elvis Costello came out with his third, Armed Forces, which is another unassailable classic. So, anyway, I think the first one off of this that I'll play is number 8. It's called Protection.
I must get out at any price before the feeling gets too nice. Just can't get no protection. Just can't get no protection. Just can't get no, can't get no protection. Protection. Every bomb is dead. Every switch is thrown and everybody tells me don't be scared. Act as if you never cared. So I wear a blank expression to conceal my real impression. Turn off all the information. Radios just pick up that station. Just can't get no protection.
He's definitely, you can hear the, you know, he's got, it sounds like a mix of Elvis Costello and Joe Jackson.
Totally. That's what I was just going to say.
Like,
yeah.
If you talk to somebody that was, like if Rich Little were a singer and you said,
yeah,
try to sound halfway like Elvis Costello and half like Joe Jackson, that's what it would sound
and
like.
And totally, I was thinking Elvis Costello, but then that last part, it was totally Joe Jackson.
So, but Graham Parker had been putting out music before those guys really did much. In fact, he was really kind of around for a lot of the 70s, and I don't know his early music, but he came out of that British pub rock tradition with like Dave Edmunds and Ian Dury and stuff, and these guys that were still sort of around when punk and new wave broke. So they just kind of adapted their sound, and actually, you know, that pub rock sound was really sort of adapted to into new wave and punk too. So he's just I think real early influential player in the scene. So that's kind of one of his poppier rocky ones, and there are certainly a lot of them like that on here, but I'm going to pick a little bit of a slower one again to kind of give you a sense of his range. Number 4, Can't Be Too Strong.
1, 2, 3, 4. D did they tear it out with talons of steel and give you a shot so that you wouldn't feel, and washed it away as if it wasn't real? It's just a mistake I won't have to face. Don't give it a name, don't give it a place, don't give it a chance. It's lucky in a way. It must have felt strange to find me inside you. I had unintended to stay. If you wanna keep it right, put it to sleep at night. Squeeze it until it could say, you can't be too strong. You can't be too strong. You can't be too strong. Can't be too strong. You decide what's wrong. Rejoice and shout myself dry and go see the boys. They'll laugh when I say I left it overseas. Yeah, babe, I know it gets dark down by Luna Park, but everybody else is squeezing out a spark that happened in the heat.
Nice edit on that. So that's the title track, yeah. With the title phrase.
Yes.
Very nicely done.
And I think that one was 63% Joe Jackson and 37% Elvis Costello.
Right.
A little more Joe Jackson.
The voice without any sort of inflection, especially the way that he sort of ends words and phrases, I think is more Elvis in general, but just kind of the way that he'll end a word, he's got just like a little sneer in his voice or something.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm picking up on.
But yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's all mixed in there pretty well. But yeah, I think a little bit more Joe Jackson.
Okay, so I know that, you know, this album is very familiar, you know, just the artist and the title of the album. So I'm just wondering, is there a song on here that I would know?
Well, I know that I think Local Girls, the second song, When I listened to it the first time, that's the one that jumped out at me. And Protection, the first one that I played. And then maybe Waiting for the UFOs. So
let's give those a try.
Yeah, let's listen to Waiting for the UFOs first. That's number 9.
Okay. Well, I didn't recognize it, but then when he said UFOs, I was thinking, God, there's this vague thing in my head that maybe maybe I remember because he says UFOs.
UFOs instead of UFOs, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, let's try the other one, Local Girls.
You think that I'm the one
Yeah.
I've heard that
Will was nodding his head as soon as that one came on, so he's heard that one before.
They must have played that one on the Rockin' Apple.
Yeah, 106. Now that they're digital tuners, 105.7, but the Rockin' Apple.
It was Apple 106. Yeah.
Yep. My friend and I once rode our bikes down to Appleton from DePere, which is about 30 miles, to get some cool painter hats that they had in the studio.
Yeah.
And we got there, and they either didn't have them or they were closed. We were so pissed. We let the air out of his tires and called his mom. Sorry, Mom, but I got a flat tire. You got to come up and get us or down.
Man.
That's my Rockin' Apple story.
Wow. Yeah, well, I thought that with something that just was pretty prominent in my mind as an album that I remembered, that there had to be a song or two that I had heard. So, yeah, it sounds good. And it's really makes me think, this is what, 1979?
Yeah.
You know, it sounds really good. The sound of the whole thing is just really good quality. And it just makes me think, have we really advanced at all? I think what we've done is, with all the digital stuff, there's a lot more opportunity for people who don't have much money to make something that sounds good. But the state of the art hasn't changed much, you know, because that's just a good, pure recording.
Right.
And yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I love music from like, whatever, 77 to 83. That's like my favorite music.
Some of it doesn't sound that great. You know, like, here's an example. Like the Sex Pistols album, you know? It sounds like, kind of like it's, the drums are really muffled and the whole thing just doesn't, it's really not very well produced. I mean, they had the Attitude, so it probably didn't matter. But there's a contrast I would make between this being a really well-recorded and produced album and the Sex Pistols not really. They didn't care anyway, I guess.
Right. That's a great, great album, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that album. But, and some of that might have been willful, too, just to sound, you know. I mean, as far as the Sex Pistols, never mind the Bollocks.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you know, they didn't necessarily want to sound real polished and professional.
Right.
They're kind of railing against that, maybe, but... I don't know. And they weren't excellent musicians or anything like that. That's for sure.
At least they were the actual band, you know, like some other, like it seems like today if you had a band like that, they'd be like faking playing their instruments. Right.
Right.
So they were forced to learn their instruments to some basic level so they could actually be the band. Right. I mean, I think they actually recorded the parts on the album, right? I guess you never know that.
They did. I mean,
they might have had some help from, like, was it Malcolm McLaren? I wonder if he played anything.
No, I don't think so. I don't
he was just
Malcolm
a manager.
McLaren did. Yeah.
But who was the producer?
I don't know who the producer was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Glenn Matlock, the original bassist, played.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it wasn't Sid Vicious. He wasn't in the band when they recorded that. So it wasn't like, you know, listeners are probably sick of me talking about the Beach Boys, but, you know, Dennis Wilson didn't play drums on most of the recordings. It wasn't like that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. It was... I mean, so they had like a studio guy do it for the recordings because he wasn't good enough?
With the Beach Boys?
Yeah. What was the reason?
Yeah, they had... Brian Wilson was good friends with... a lot of the people in Phil Spector's band.
Mm-hmm.
So Hal Blaine was his drummer. It was just a like a really, really, really good drummer that you know, he's fortunate to be able to use. Otherwise, I think Dennis was probably okay, but you know, they had a better option.
You just reminded me of something. So I'm gonna just go totally off the script here. Okay. I was listening to a new album for the first time tonight by a band called Waves. And I don't know yet. We're going to withhold judgment on whether this is going to be worthy of an actual podcast discussion, because I don't really know yet one time through. But there was a song that caught my ear, and I think you'll understand why. Okay? You ready?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Sound familiar at all?
Yeah, I've got the Be My Baby intro in there.
It was just funny.
Even some tambourines.
Yeah, after you played the six or seven of those, and here I was listening to a new album for the first time, and there it came.
Now you're cursed.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life, you're going to be like, God, there's another one.
We'll have to keep track of how many of those we get the rest of the year.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I'm kind of interested in hearing this new Waves album. The last one, when it came out, what was that, maybe a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Pitchfork gave it like a 11 and a half or whatever. They were just so excited about it.
Yeah.
And then everybody heard it and was a little bit underwhelmed. I mean, I was. There's some really nice, catchy little nuggets in there, but, it sounded like crap and... the ideas just weren't fleshed out at all, and it was really lacking. And then he went on the road with it, and people were really reacted badly.
Yeah, and then he had that freak out incident or something.
Yeah.
And, well, this one, it's more of a full band, so we'll...
Well, didn't he get... well, you were telling me that he got Jay Retard's band.
Right, yeah. Right. Before Jay Retard died, his band quit on him, and then... the Waves guy hired them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
So, maybe we'll talk about that on a future podcast. And you know what I didn't do? I didn't give the contact information. So I think for people who have made it all the way through, we should tell them that if you haven't done this already, you can subscribe to the podcast from iTunes. And it's pretty self-explanatory. So just find us on iTunes and hit the subscribe button. Or you can contact us by going to the webpage, willsband.net, or the Facebook page, which is called the Will's Band of the Week podcast, or email us, willsband@yahoo.com. And I think that concludes, unless you've got something more, Barrett, I think it concludes the meat of the podcast.
I think so.
The substantive musical portion of the podcast. And, we should be back in a couple weeks. We'll have to see, how the vacation recovery goes. I'm hoping to get some time to listen to some new music, and hopefully you will too. And maybe Chris will, and we'll see. And that's it.
Yep. Well, I think we held our own this week.
I think we did.
Hit it out of the park, as they say. Right?
Oh, yeah. Like Corey Hart at the home run hitting contest.
Yeah, he was leading after the first round.
And then he didn't hit a single home run the second round, right?
How many outs do you get in the second round?
I don't know how it works.
Maybe fewer?
I just heard that he had like 11 or something in the first round, and then he had zero.
Huh. So,
must be one of those things where you like, if you just get in like a certain zone.
Right.
You know what I think? I think the ball looks like a grapefruit. Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, but the second time it looks like
a golf
like
ball.
A pee.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody, and we'll be back in approximately 2 weeks with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.